Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 9 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. This is Dan Holman, the publisher of Ankeny Fanatic. And once again, this week, we are coming to you from the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we have a special guest here today. He is a former Ankeny and Centennial baseball star who went on to play in college at Arkansas. And we're going to be talking to him about his experiences at all those places. Of course, I'm talking about Keaton McKinney. Keaton, thanks for coming. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
You bet. Well, you recently announced your retirement from baseball. Was that a tough decision for you?
Yeah, it definitely was a decision I thought a lot about. I'd say it was about a two-month-long process. I talked to Van Horn towards the end of the season. They have meetings with the red shirts and people who are injured. So we talked about it a little bit. He gave me some time. I had the conversation over and over in my head on what I wanted to do. But at the end of the day, I came to the decision it was better for me to move on and do other things.
So what are you doing now? Are you selling insurance out here?
Yep. I'm an insurance agent for my brother's insurance company, Heartland Retirement Group.
Oh, okay. Has that been a big adjustment for you, going from being a college student, a baseball player, to being out in the real world?
Yeah, it's definitely a big adjustment. Finally joining the real world here, playing baseball my whole life, ever since I can remember. So it's a big difference, but I like it a lot.
Well, before we talk about Arkansas, let's go back to your high school days for a little bit. You obviously enjoyed a lot of success while playing for Ankeny and then at Centennial. Are those some of your best memories from playing baseball?
Yeah, they really are. Just playing with the guys I grew up with, that I remember, me and Joel Lanning, we played together growing up, but we were bat boys first for our brother, as when Calvin and then Jeff. And we have pictures of it. It's so funny. We're just always hitting and stuff, and then be able to follow in their footsteps, play for Ankeny, and win Ankeny a state championship. It was pretty special.
Of course, we're talking about playing on that 2012 Ankeny team that went 43-2, and you guys just absolutely rolled to the Class 4A state title. Do you remember the only two teams that beat you that year?
Oh, man. I know one of them was on a Saturday. It was like over in Lenmar or something.
That must have been Muscatine. I had to look it up.
Yeah, it was Muscatine. And then the other one was Dowling, and I was actually out of town for that game.
Oh, okay. Well, I was looking back at the roster for that squad, and it's just absolutely amazing to think about, you know, all the talent you guys had on that team, you know, Division I talent in a lot of different sports. I mean, you had Joel Lanning, Ross Larson, you know, Matt Johnson went on to have a great career in college. Do you feel like maybe you guys had one of the best high school teams ever here in the state?
Yeah, I mean, from what I remember, it'd definitely be one of the best. The thing I remember is just how big of a team we had for being high school kids. Like you said, we had Ross, who ended up being a heavyweight wrestler at Oklahoma, and we got Joel, who ended up being a linebacker. And yeah, it's just pretty funny to think about. I mean, we had a lot of talent on that team for sure.
Well, I know you pitched in the semifinal win over Valley that year. What was that like to take the mound at Principal Park for the first time?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Just all the support we had there. It was a big crowd. I remember Valley was a really, really good opponent for us. So it was a big game, especially considering it was going to the state championship. But I remember I had my work cut out for me, and I probably gave up the most runs. I gave up an outing there, but we had got the win, and that was all that mattered.
Well, then you had an outstanding junior year. You went 8-0 with a 0.39 ERA, and you pitched in both of Ankeny's sub-state wins that year. And I think you guys were seeded number one going into state, but then unfortunately you were upset by Clinton in the quarterfinals. I remember that whole situation. It was a tough call for Coach Hyde. I'm not throwing him under the bus by any means, but I know he made the decision to kind of hold you back maybe for a later game. Do you think about, you know, now looking back at that and think how things might have been different if you'd pitched that game?
I mean, you can run situations like that over and over again until you go crazy, but we did the exact same thing we were doing the year before with Belzer. He's a great pitcher, and we were trying to do the same thing where he bounced back a little bit better than I did after start, so he would have probably been able to throw that first game, the quarterfinal, and then the championship game, where I was pretty much a one outing a week kind of guy. So that's where his decision was at, and we ended up having to have me come in relief. But that I definitely backed his decision for sure.
Of course, then you made the move over to Centennial for your senior year. However, you only played in 6 games before suffering a season-ending injury that year. I believe that was over at Waukee, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. That was Waukee.
What exactly happened on that play? I don't remember.
Yeah, so it was pretty dumb on my part, but we wanted to back pick a guy because he's getting a big lead. He just came in to pinch run. We were down by a lot. I think it was 9-0. So we backpicked him. I can't even remember if we got him out or not, but he slid back cleat first, which you'll never see. And then I remember I just felt something that was weird. It didn't even hurt at all. And then I couldn't get my glove off because my finger is dangling.
Okay.
So that was tough.
Well, despite the injury, and you didn't play the rest of the year, then you were ranked the 37th best to recruit nationally and number one in the state of Iowa by Perfect Game. Of course, you were projected to be a high draft pick, and then you eventually slipped to the 28th round before being taken by the Mets. And I don't want to rehash the whole draft process, but you've said over time, though, that you don't have any regrets about how that whole thing played out, right?
No, absolutely not. I will never regret that decision. I had the 4 best years of my life in Arkansas. Met a lot of people. The city is great. The fans are great. My teammates were great. And the coaches, they're awesome as well. I mean, having to deal with a guy who had 3 surgeries in 4 years, that's tough for a coach when you don't know what to expect. And I just am grateful for them. And I think if I was in a different situation, I would not have got that same treatment. So I was grateful for Coach Van Horn and his staff.
Well, definitely want to talk to you about Arkansas here in a little bit. But one other note about your high school career. You did have an opportunity then to go on and help the USA Baseball 18U national team to the IBAF World Cup Championship. Now, was that over in Beijing? Is that right?
No, that was actually in Taiwan.
Taiwan. Okay. Get those places mixed up. That had to be quite a trip for you.
Yeah, that and the College World Series, and obviously the State Baseball Championship was the best baseball moments of my life. Just seeing a new culture and playing against different styles of baseball, it was pretty crazy.
Now, when you were over there in Taiwan, did you get a chance to experience much of the culture, or was it pretty much all about baseball on that trip?
We got to go downtown one night, I remember. It was pretty crazy, just the stuff you see. They're so nice over there, and they eat a lot of different stuff, so we got to see, just raw duck just sitting there. The head's not even cut off yet, or, dog and stuff like that.
What was the trip over there like? I can't imagine we've ever traveled that far before.
No, it was, I think it was about a 10-hour flight there. It was about 14 hours on the way back. So, you live one day twice, and you lost a day because of how much you just sleep through it and the time change and all that.
Oh, wow. Well, you're listening to the Yankee Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Yankee office here will close in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Let's get back to our guest, Keaton McKinney. Let's talk a little bit about his time at Arkansas. Of course, you enjoyed a tremendous freshman season down there. You went 6-2 with a 3.21 ERA. I know you earned SEC All-Freshman and Freshman All-American honors after that season. You helped Arkansas reach the College World Series. At that point in your college career, did you feel like your career is on track the way you envisioned it?
I definitely thought so. Honestly, I didn't expect to even do that much. When I got there, I just knew I wanted to play a role. It's tough as a freshman to go into the SEC. You're facing a 1-9 lineup. There's not a spot in the lineup that's easier than the other. So I just wanted to play a role, and I ended up getting to be the Sunday starter, which was special to me. It was nice to play a role and make a difference for that team.
Well, unfortunately, some injuries then kind of derailed your career. You suffered a hip injury and then 2 tears to your pitching elbow that led to surgeries. You missed all of the 2017 season, and then you came back this year and played just 1 game, right, before you shut down?
Yeah, it was 2 innings in the Sunday game in the first weekend.
Well, I know you've already graduated, but could you have gone back for one more year if you wanted to?
Honestly, I could have 2 years of eligibility. I could possibly be a sixth year.
Oh, okay.
Only a few people who are special with injuries or something like that get to do that, but...
Well, yeah, we had Maddie Manning in there last week. She went through the six-year program, so...
Yeah.
But obviously, you said you were just ready to move on, so, I mean... Was it more of a physical decision or mental? I mean, physically, do you think you could have come back if you wanted to, or what would you say?
Yeah, I think it would have been a long road ahead of me. And if I would have came back, it probably wouldn't have been till like the middle of the season. So with roster spots and stuff like that, we have such a deep team. It's hard to save a roster spot for a guy on the bubble. So it was physical and mental. At the same time.
Sure. Now, I know there's been some other baseball players like Rick Ankiel, whose pitching career, you know, kind of went off the rails, and then he was able to come back as a hitter. You were once a great hitter. You were recruited as a dual athlete. You know, did you ever think, oh, maybe I could try to go back and be a hitter? I know you haven't hit for a long time.
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, I thought it would be a lot of fun. I don't know, after not hitting for 4 years, how that would pan out there, but I mean, yeah, I definitely, it went through my mind, and I wish I could do that, but I don't think that's a possibility.
Well, you said a little bit ago that the 4 years you spent there in Arkansas were the best 4 years of your life. I made my first trip to Fayetteville last fall to go to a football game and spend some time with the Rhodes family. Had a really good time down there. I can see why, you know, you as well as anybody else who goes to school there really likes it. It's a beautiful place. And we had some fun down on Dixon Street. I imagine you've been there a few times.
Yeah, we've been there a few times. It's a good place. There's a lot of energy. They really take pride in what they have there, and it was fun to be part of it was a little different culture down in the South. I know it's not that far south, but it's still different, and it was a good time.
Did you ever run into Coach Rhodes down the last couple of years?
I did a couple times, actually. My dad, he graduated like a couple years apart from him, so he knew him. So I always, whenever I'd run into him, I'd talk to him a little bit and see how he's doing. So.
All right. Well, of course, Arkansas ended up making the College Awards World Series again this year. Were you able to go to the games, or did you just have to watch them on TV like the rest of us?
I went to the Texas game. That was the first game. I had a summer class this summer that I had to do to finish up my degree. So I was able to get out of there for that game, but that was I had to watch the rest of them.
Now, were you surprised at all by the success that they had this year?
No, absolutely not. Man, we talked about it so many times, how good of a team we had. I mean, it was last summer. I remember I was rehabbing them. We just would put people in places like, man, if he can do this and all that good stuff. We knew our goal every year was to get to Omaha, but that year is to win it. And, I mean, being one out or one pitch away, it was crazy. But, I mean, that's exactly what we expected.
Well, yeah, I want to ask you about, you mentioned being one out away. I didn't see the replay, but I understand, yeah, there was a foul ball that you guys didn't catch, and I don't want to throw your teammates under the bus, but what do you think happened on that play?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of adrenaline going on, and that's a tough play. I mean, if anyone thinks that's an easy play, I would love to throw them out there on the field in front of 25,000 people yelling, and the circumstances of making that play was huge. I think we just had a guy get over aggressive, which is, I mean, perfectly common with the circumstances. But like I said, it's not a routine play. So, I mean, that's all you can really say about it is a tough play, and they just didn't make it.
Right. When you used to be a first baseman in high school, is there any kind of, you know, protocol to play like that? Is there somebody supposed to call for that ball, or is it just who's ever there first? Or?
I mean, it just depends wherever it's at, whoever has the best beat on it. I mean, that can be anybody's ball. It just depends on who gets a good jump. And I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't say anything really about
sure.
it.
Gotcha. Well, you guys had a couple really good freshmen that came through for you this year, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, but I mean, Coach Van Horn, he talks about it in the fall meetings and the spring meetings. He always says that freshmen are the key to winning. You always need freshmen. to contribute. I mean, you'll have the upperclassmen that have had the experience, but if you can have freshmen that put together seasons like that, that's kind of what puts it over the top. And I mean, that's why they're in the situation they were.
You obviously haven't played now the last couple of years, but you know, being there and watching some of those younger kids, have you tried to lead by, you know, by example, or try to share some of your experiences with them?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what my goal was this year. I mean, along with being part of the team, is pitching. Once I knew I couldn't do that, I mean, I just tried to lead by example, keeping a good mindset. And I know in the fall, I just would try and work as hard as I could, just so that, I mean, nobody else would slack off or something. And that's kind of what I got into when I got in there as a freshman. I had upperclassmen who were really hard workers, and I would just follow them and watch what they do. And I think that's kind of key to have a good environment and a good locker room.
Well, there's a lot of controversy, you know, this year surrounding that Oregon State pitcher who pitched against you guys, that Luke Heimlich. He went undrafted after it was revealed that he pled guilty as a teenager to molesting a 6-year-old girl. Are you surprised that he wasn't drafted based, you know, because of the talent that he has?
You know, I have no idea the situation or anything that's going on. I mean, yeah, the guy has one incredible talent, but about any of the other stuff, I have no idea. All I know is he's a good pitcher, and if he gets a chance, I'm sure he'll make the most of it.
I remember reading an article about him, you know, just, and I don't know all the details either, but it seems like, you know, he pled guilty to a case. He served his punishment. I just don't know how long you're supposed to punish a guy for something that happened when he was that young. I mean, we all do stupid things, I think, when we're teenagers.
Yeah, I went out to Driveline, and I mean, he was a Driveline guy as well, and they're pretty smart people, and they were backing him up, and that's all I know about the situation. And yeah, we'll dive into any more detail about that.
All right, well, just a few other topics that I wanted to cover with you, Keaton. You obviously decided to focus on baseball at a fairly young age, you know, when you were in high school. But didn't you also play football and basketball earlier?
Yeah, I played football my freshman year of high school, and I quit after that. And then basketball, I quit after my sophomore year.
Oh, okay. Because I mentioned that we had Maddie Manning in here last week, and she talked about how important she thought it was for her when she was in high school. She played multiple sports, and she played volleyball and track as well. And but I'm guessing you maybe feel differently, that it's okay for a kid to specialize in sport if he feels like that's the one that, you know, maybe is his ticket to the next level or whatever.
You know, I see it both ways. For me, I do regret a little bit not playing basketball my last 2 years. I wish I could have played, but specializing, yeah, it's good if you're going to put your time in with workouts and really honing your craft. But at the same time, I see how athletic ability is gained through playing other sports. I mean, I really do think I gained a lot of different, like, athletic ability and strength in different areas just from playing other sports.
Well, now last week, of course, was both the All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby. Did you get a chance to watch any of that?
I watched a little bit of the Home Run Derby. I missed the All-Star Game.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't watch any of it. And it seems like with each passing year, like, the MLB All-Star Game just becomes more and more irrelevant. And I know they used to have that, the deal where the home field advantage and the World Series would be determined by that. I don't think that was a good idea either. But do you think there's anything they can do to maybe bring a little more, I don't know, entertainment to the game?
Honestly, I have no idea what they could do. I think they've tried about everything they can. If I think about it, I would say, I mean, if they could draft teams so that they have, like, the top vote-getter, maybe draft teams, kind of like the Pro Bowl's been doing it lately, mm-hmm. where they draft so people in the AL are playing with NL people, so they get to see different stuff like that. Maybe that'd make a difference, but...
Well, I know the NBA All-Star Game kind of did that last year, too. They had the two captains draft the teams, and I didn't watch any of that either, but I guess it was a little more interesting from what I heard. Well, what do you think of the current state of the Major League Baseball game? It seems like with a lot of batters anymore, everything's either like a home run or a strikeout. There just isn't much, you know, action anymore. The simple plays like the sack bunt, the stolen base, don't really be part of the game anymore. What do you think of that?
I think the fans will like a little bit more action with when it comes to that. And I think, I mean, people are throwing so much harder, so I see why people are putting it in play, or when they do, the pitchers are supplying the power. And that's all it is nowadays, is launch angle and velocity and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, it plays a big role in the game. But, I mean, I think the timing, like where they're trying to make the game shorter, I don't know if any of that's really helping. I think that whatever they can do to get more balls in play might be a little more helpful.
Now the whole analytics thing, is that something that you guys study much in Arkansas? Is that much, do you use that much in preparation for opponents?
So yeah, my first 2 years would have been with Coach Jord, and we did absolutely nothing. He was an old school guy. He would just talk about it, just be hard nosed, do your thing, whatever you're best at, go out with your best stuff. And then with Coach Johnson, it was completely analytics, science, all that good stuff. So I got to live the best of both worlds with them.
Did you take to the analytical approach? I mean, did you enjoy it, or did you feel like it was helpful?
Yeah, I really liked it. I mean, there's so many numbers that go into everything. He's such a smart guy. So we would get reports on us with how our velocity was, like where our velocity would be per inning, how much our spin rate is, like on different pitches and what we can do, and the angle and the tilt of our hand and how the pitches went. So it's a lot different, but yeah, I really liked it. And I tried to help my game as much as possible, although I didn't get a really pitch of the game with it.
Sure. Well, the last thing I want to ask you about is some of baseball's unwritten rules. And I don't know how many of these things transfer from MLB to the college game, but you know, it just seems kind of crazy to me with some of these unwritten rules. I mean, you'll see some of these teams will do the defensive shift, but then if a guy tries to bunt into the shift, you know, it's like the defensive team gets offended. I mean, what do you think of some of those unwritten rules? Do you think some of them are kind of silly, or
with the shift? I think that's a huge part of the game. A lot of people are trying to get rid of the shift and just do standard, just play it how it is, but I really like this shift. I mean, you're playing the numbers there. It's all analytics. But if you're bunting against the shift, kudos to you. I think it's smart. I honestly don't see it very often. And I mean, if someone can bunt it down the line, fair enough. And yeah, that's pretty much what I think about it.
Well, it just seems like if you can put an extra guy on one side of the field to take away, you know, the guy's hitting advantages, that he should, you know, hey, it's open over here. He should be allowed to do what he wants.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Keeble, it's been enjoyable. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Thanks for listening, and come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.